What pig are you talking about?
The show.
You're calling this show a pig now?
It's a figure of speech, Bill. I mean, do you understand a figure? I mean, it's... Come on, man.
I understand your figure. I understand your
round.
Figure. Very, your figure is... Like, if figure meant, like, number, your figure
My
is
My figure
zero.
Is an upside-down pear.
I wouldn't go that far. That's harsh. That's harsh. Shall
All
we?
Right, let's get this thing... Let's get this party started.
Say the magic words, then.
Press the button, monkey.
And now,
from the ABCs of whatever.com studios in Punta Gorda, Florida,
it's the ABCs of Whatever.
With Andy, Bill, Chris, and Kurt.
Let's all sing our ABCs together. Are you ready? Here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
ABCs or whatever. It is Friday night, the 20th of June, and you got Kid Charisse, the Portly Portuguese, the Chorizo Sausage, the Stroke Victim, Chris Medeiros.
Hello,
Fall
everybody.
River, Rhode Island. Is that right?
Yeah, that's good enough.
And I'm Bill Rake in, where am I? Punta Gorda, the ABCs whatever.com studios in Punta Gorda, Florida. Welcome to the show. Not joining us this evening because he's off doing his typical 16-hour work days in Pittsburgh, PA, the City of Champions. We're missing Andrew Jenkins this evening. Andy just found out he's got an umbilical hernia.
Okay.
You don't give a crap, do you?
Oh, I feel for him. I mean... That's not the greatest of news.
No.
Kind of came from nowhere.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, man.
Came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, our prayers go out to Andy.
Oh, come on. Let's not go overboard. It's an umbilical hernia. It's not a brain tumor. You're praying for his hernia? Are you really praying for his umbilical hernia?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, I mean... I don't know how much praying. Well, I don't know. All right, Andy, I hope you feel better.
Okay, that's cool. I can live with that. He's working 15, 16-hour days because he's the only guy that's running the restaurant that he works at right now. Everybody else is on vacation or out of town or scared to upset their wives and come into work or some crap. I don't know what the deal is, but I know I'm not too far off there. It's something along those lines. And so that leaves the show in our hands, and capable hands they are. Coming up on this evening's show, I'm in the political mindset tonight, Chris. I got to give you a heads up. We're going to be talking morals and values and politics, and this is episode 96. 96, 97, 98, 99. Your turn.
100.
And then that will be our 100th show.
Yes.
So coming up on the show this evening, I want to talk about the Los Angeles mayor dropping the F-bomb. A couple of sports news stories, actually. The L.A. mayor drops the F-bomb at the L.A. Kings victory rally. The Redskins are getting stripped of their trademark for their logos. And... Also, I want to talk about having an NFL-style draft pick by states for their governors. I got an idea that I want to hash out with you, see if we can't work that out. Okay. I got a bunch of news stories that I wanted to touch base with you on, and then anything you got in your back pocket that you wanted to chat about this evening.
Alrighty.
But let me start out by telling everybody that we've got a handful of shows left. It's not too late for you to use the ABCsWhatever.com's Amazon link. You can find that at the top of the page, left-hand side, near the top, of the ABCsWhatever.com. Use that link for purchasing things like batteries, food. You can get maraschino cherries. You can actually resell used books on Amazon.com and get up to 80% back for what you paid for them. So that's something that I think they're kind of testing out right now. So go to the ABCsWhatever.com, use our Amazon link, and help us take a chunk out of our expenses for keeping the show going. Even though we're talking about wrapping the show up, if we can pay to keep the thing going and we can continue to do the shows where we'll be able to continue to have the website and be able to use Podomatic to carry all our shows, we're most likely not going to be able to bring in that kind of money. And when that happens, we're going to let the website go and switch to the basic Podomatic service, which will let us keep a handful of shows posted all the time. And as they age, they'll drop off, so the most recent ones will be kept up. But that'll be a minimal thing. It won't be a ton of shows. So, All right, your turn. Your turn to blab, because I think I just talked for 5 minutes straight without you saying a word.
I wanted to talk about we have the World Cup going on.
More sports news, baby. More sports news.
Well, it's not so much sports news. There's been a lot of controversy about how much. I mean, you know, you got the best team, best players that are around the world playing for their respective teams or where they're from, and so you got the best of the best as far as the world of soccer. And what we're finding out is that the worst of the worst soccer fans are also there.
See, I haven't heard any stories yet.
You haven't heard any stories? They're all over. They're all over the news. I was just watching a special on that.
Really?
You got all walks of life, a lot of racism going on. There's a bunch of swastikas that they have, flags that they're flying out there in the stadiums.
You don't mean to tell me that there are countries that could possibly, even close to being as racist as the red, white, and blue United States?
Well, I'm just telling you, buddy, this is what's going on. People throwing bananas on the field.
I'm saying that ironically because I think we're the least racist country ever.
I know.
Okay.
I know, buddy.
Throwing bananas at the black players, no doubt. That's become commonplace
in
soccer.
Someone threw a banana. He was going for a corner kick, and before he kicked the ball, he picked up the banana and took a bite out of it.
Awesome. Good for him. I like that.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of. That was kind of cool.
Yep, I like
but,
that.
But, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, a lot of different, and again, this is a very, football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. It's huge worldwide. I mean, it's a huge event. A lot of people get really into it. And it's just so surprising to see.
While we're talking about soccer, I wanted to ask you, does it bother you to know that the head coach for the USA team came out and said they have no chance to win the World Cup?
Does it bother me?
Yeah, do you think that's a poor approach for a head coach?
There's no reason to say that. I mean, everybody knows that. But where do things have happened? I mean, the country that won 4 years ago, they're totally out of it now. They're mathematically out of it. They lost twice. Which is Spain. So anything can happen. That's the reason why I have a problem with him saying it.
You could say that the let me think of a good parallel. It would be kind of like saying the Atlanta. What are they? The Hawks had a chance to win the NBA Finals. They made the playoffs. They had the chance, but if the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks had come out and said, we have no chance of winning the championship, people would have lynched him. But the fact of the matter is they had no chance to win the NBA championships. They were like an eighth seed.
Mm-hmm.
And in a, you know, barely made it, a marginal team. So, you know, the U.S. has no, and now one of their top players is out for a while, right? They don't expect him to play in the remainder of the World Cup. Altidore is his name. I don't know his first name.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that was really cool of what he did.
Maybe he was using reverse psychology on him. You mean it wasn't cool of the head coach to say that, is what you mean?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so. I think
I'm saying maybe he's using reverse psychology on him.
Bad bullcrap.
Maybe he's giving the team fuel, you know, to get out there. Yeah, he thinks, well, we'll show him.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I mean, don't you do that with me all the time?
No.
Chris, you're not going to be good on the show.
No, I never have said that to you.
Oh, you do? Oh, all right. So you really mean it when you say that? Here I am thinking you're trying to push me to be better.
I've never told you that you're not going to be good on the show.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, it is? Okay. Okay, so were you aware of this story? The Los Angeles mayor dropping the F-bomb at the rally for the Los Angeles Kings, you know, after them winning the Stanley Cup? Are you there?
No, I wasn't aware of that. I'm here.
Okay. Let me play the clip for you here. The audio is not the best. The site that I got it from, not fantastic, but... Oh, I forgot to put it in here. Give me 10 seconds while I put it into my little player here. And while I do that, I'll set it up for you. The Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup. And as everybody knows, there's typically a parade and all that kind of thing. When you win the Stanley Cup, that goes along with it. The players were told not to cuss before when they had their opportunity to speak to the crowd. They were instructed not to curse. And here is Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
There are two rules in politics. They say never, ever be pictured with a drink in your hand and never swear. But this is a big f-ing day. Wait, guys.
So this is a big f-ing day. The approach I wanted to take to this discussion, not an original thought on my part, but it's an interesting discussion. Well, I remember when I was a little kid, I heard one of my aunts. I was probably 13, 14, 15 years old. I was old enough to really maybe not even be that embarrassed by it, but my aunts were sitting around a table doing something. They were having a little coffee clatch. There was probably four or five of them. And there were kids running around. And I heard my aunt say something about using the P word for the female anatomy. And I can remember thinking, I don't mind that you said it in front of the other ladies, but you got to know that there's kids running around. And I lose respect for you when I know that you use that kind of language knowing that there's little kids running around. And this is as a child I was thinking this.
Mm.
Now, there were kids at this rally.
Right.
And this is the mayor. I know that 99 people out of 100 are going to say, what's the big deal? They won the Stanley Cup. And it's a way to relate to the fans and all that. But I think that this, as a culture, we lose something when we make something that used to be crass and unacceptable is now acceptable. If it used to be crass and tasteless, why is it okay now? I guess is where I'm going with this. Your opinion? Am I off base?
Well, to some extent, I think you are. I mean, you got to go with the times. You know, the world, it has changed. I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm not saying that it's. I'm not saying that it's right. All I'm saying is that the world has changed. I mean, last year when we had the Boston Strong and, you know, they had the first Red Sox, you know, the first Red Sox game after that, and Ortiz came up and he swore. You know, yeah. There was a big to-do about that.
I think we talked about it on the show.
Yes. It's that progression that we keep talking about, you know, the advancement. I mean, you know, you.
But it's not advancing. Why are we calling it advancing? What is moving forward about saying that something that used to be held at a higher standard is now at a lower standard? The way that you speak in public used to be held to a higher standard. So now we're advancing by lowering the standard? I don't agree.
I'm not saying it's a low. I'm saying the standard has changed.
Yes.
The idea of that standard has changed is what I'm saying. I'm not saying. I mean, you
I'm
know,
not. I'm not attacking
days,
you
we've
either.
Been watching that movie Turned. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think that the people, the soldiers that you see in that, do you think that the British, do you think that the Yankees, do you think that they, you know, spoke the way that we speak today? No, there was change. When we were kids, when our parents were kids, I mean, you know, when rock and roll had started, when Elvis started, when it was, you know, what the transitions that they went through, there was a progression of times there too. I mean, you got to understand that when we were kids, and the way that my kid is grown is the way is what's available to her is so vast.
It's not
you
progress.
You got to be a little naive if you don't think that they're hearing those words daily by the minute.
Take the music example that you just used. It's not progress. As much as I love rock and roll, and I'm a classic rock super fan, going from Beethoven to Inagata Davida is not progress. We're not moving forward.
Opinions vary on that, Bill.
No, how can I don't see based on what? What could on based on what could an opinion vary from that we're moving forward by lowering what is acceptable? I get it that times have changed.
I'm not
actually trying to disagree with you. I think to some extent you're playing the devil's advocate.
I am playing the devil's advocate.
I know.
To a big extent, I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying to you is, you just said if lowering our standards, and what I'm saying to you is that, you know, in your idea of what the standard should be is different than what it is, what other people feel, and that's where I think I guess progression is the wrong word to use.
Yes.
What's allowed? What's okay? What is accepted in society today?
But shouldn't we as a society aim to constantly be improving, raising standards rather than lowering standards? I mean, let me ask you this: do we agree that using a politician, a sitting mayor, using an F-bomb while holding a Bud Light at a rally is lowering the standards? And by the way, if you hadn't noticed, fans go crazy.
Yeah. Well, fans went crazy when Ortiz did this day. I mean, there are commercials up here with that same.
So can you and I agree that the standards have been lowered? What is acceptable in public speech? If this was a situation where the mayor dropped the F-bomb in private and a microphone picked it up and it was kind of a slip, I don't think I would care. But this was something that it's a planned, rehearsed statement.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm a true believer that it was planned.
Yeah. So can you and I agree that a standard of what is decent has been lowered by the fact that people cheer instead of boo?
Yes. In my eye and in your eye, yes. The standard, yes, that there was no need for that.
Now,
there was no need for that. He was getting a rise out of people.
Yeah,
yeah. What he was trying
then
to
the
do.
Question that I have is, if the standards are being lowered, is that progress?
In my eye, no, it's not progress. If anything, it's we're actually, you know, we're going backwards actually. That's in my eye, and I know that's in your eye.
Yeah.
you know, if we speak to someone who is, say, in their 20s right now, probably they're not feeling the same way.
No, you're probably right. They're probably thinking that we're nuts, but I think that a 20-year-old that would be listening to the show that does think that, what are you making such a big deal out of this for? I think that they should consider that it's not something where we feel like we're old fogies. We're being old fogies.
I mean, you know, when we were kids, we could probably count, you know, you could probably count in your hands and toes how many cassette tapes or records that were out there that had the explicit. This contains explicit content.
Right.
You know, and I get now. I mean,
They don't even bother labeling. They don't
want to go on to the future here. Even when you go on to like iTunes to get yourself some music out of iTunes, I mean, that statement. You know, this song contains profanity. This song contains this. Contains that. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, when we were younger, it was there, but it wasn't as common as it is now.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I think that's, you know, and if that isn't an indication of our standards being lowered as a society, I don't know what is.
All right. Well, listen, I got some more sports stories that I want to talk about coming up here in a little bit. And we are a good chunk of the way into the show already. Well, this is whipping by a lot faster than I expected to. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I will lay out my NFL draft plan for how states are going to get their governors in the future. You're listening to the ABCs of Whatever. So you've been working for a while now. You got yourself a little business, and you want to put yourself online. You need to find a place where you can have your website hosted, get a good domain name at a good price, and make yourself seen. Go to the ABCsofWhatever.com and click on the GoDaddy link. GoDaddy's got great deals right now on domain names, web hosting, web design. For $5.99 a month, you can get a free domain. You can get unlimited bandwidth, unlimited disk space. You can get up to 500 email addresses specific to your site. But here's the kicker. $100 worth of Google AdWords credit, $50 in Bing Ads credit, and $50 in Facebook Ads credit. Get your name out there. Sell those doilies your grandma taught you how to knit. Put your podcast online. Give yourself a website for whatever your hobby is and make it happen. Go to theabcsofwhatever.com and click on the GoDaddy link. Do it today.
Hi, this is Andy Jenkins of the ABCs of Whatever. If you're into this show and you want some more, you can find our past episodes by going to iTunes.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof.
The program director tonight went out to see the movie Jersey Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Heard anything about it?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
It is.
They say that it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's directed by Clint Eastwood. It is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So I checked Rotten Tomatoes to see how the movies score, and it was right in the middle of the pack. Nothing bad, nothing good, but you know, she likes musicals, and that it's based on a Broadway play. So,
well, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law went and seen the Broadway play.
Oh yeah,
and they loved it. They thought it was the greatest thing they've ever seen. So
yeah, but that's their era too. That's the music from their era.
Right.
So. Okay, I want to talk to you about my newly developed NFL style, not NFL, but NFL style draft for governors for states. Here's my plan. You know, I was thinking, how awesome would it be if people don't run for office, But there are people out there that are super geniuses in business and industry. And how great would it be if you could take a guy like David Geffen and just say, okay, you got 8 years to straighten out California, or you got 8 years to straighten out, you know, this problem, that problem, in this state, that state. So the way I came up with this was, I thought, what states ought to do is be ranked from bottom to top, with the top representing the states that have the worst economic conditions. And you could set up a criteria based on unemployment and budget deficits and things like that. And that state would get the first draft pick. And a committee made up of maybe like three or five people that maybe they are elected by the state populace, but they get together and they put their heads together and they make a draft board of anybody that they would like that's a U.S. citizen. Doesn't have to live in your state, could live in any state. And if they're a U.S. citizen, and I don't think David Geffen is a U.S. citizen, but I was just using him as an example. Maybe Bill Gates or some other, you know, super genius captain of industry, or maybe a college professor that you have high esteem for. But if you think they can solve your state's problems, and then you go, okay, we the state of California select Bill Gates, and then Bill Gates is obligated to be the governor for California for a period, say, 4 to 8 years. And then in that 4 to 8 years, it's incumbent upon him to try to rectify the problems economically or morally or whatever it is. You know, like you may select, if say your state feels that its economy is good, but there are problems in education. Maybe you would select somebody who is extremely strong at improving education and has established a track record in that. What do you think of my idea?
I think it's a great idea. I'm floored that it came from you. That's probably the least conservative thing I've ever heard from you.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's pragmatic.
I love it. I think it's great. Let's do it.
So then if you're one of the top states, you know, and it's getting around to be 50, you still might have priorities. Maybe your whole thing, let's say, oh, I don't know, just for argument's sake, let's say that the state that gets the final draft pick is very liberal. So maybe they would pick a person that they thought was going to improve women's rights or women's health problems or things that are liberal hot buttons, you know? So their committee could go out and pick somebody that's established a track record in women's issues. Or maybe you're in Alabama and you're kind of most of the way to being in a good spot. Or Texas is a better example. Your economy is good. You're in the South. You're a conservative state. Maybe you take a guy who, like Mike Huckabee, that's got very high moral standards, or at least, you know, that's what a conservative would say. And he would address social issues. Maybe try to change the education system so that there's less of a liberal bias in your state.
Well, and we could do it kind of like how we do the NFL. You know, you pick your players in the draft.
Yeah.
So we'll start like, you know, number one will be like the worst off state.
Yeah. Right? That's what I said at the beginning.
And then it goes to like the 50, and then 51 is like goes back to the worst. You know what I mean?
Well,
and it goes back up that way for the second for like lieutenant governor.
Yeah, okay. You could do that, I guess. And then it could be on, instead of it being on ESPN, it would probably be on like CNN and Fox News.
C-SPAN.
Yeah, okay. I can live with that.
Throw them a bone, dude.
Yeah, really. They don't have a lot going for them. So that's a good idea then. You like that?
I do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, that pretty much wraps up that idea. That's all I have for that.
It would be actually a pretty cool thing if we had the resources. If we had the resources, we would get 50 different types of people and play, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, each one of us has to come up with a governor. Each one of us has to come up with a lieutenant governor. You know what I mean? Your state representatives. You know, you have to actually build the team that runs the state. It would be kind of fun to see.
To see who would get grabbed
someone
up.
Someone from every state.
See,
and
then,
see who they would pick.
Well, and what I like about this is there's always the sleeper picks. You know, in the NFL, there's you hear about a guy that's maybe an undrafted free agent or a guy who went in the seventh round that turns out to be a Pro Bowler, you know. So it might be that somebody takes somebody that you weren't expecting to hear, but they do a great job, you know. Maybe somebody takes Barbara Streisand, for example.
Right.
Because they've heard her speak and they were very motivated by her. And then she does a great job. I don't know why I picked Barbara Streisand. Just it seemed like an odd choice. It would be an odd choice.
Someone could pick the chair that Clint Eastwood was talking to.
That's a good one. You are aware by now that the NFL has a crisis going on with the Washington Redskins. The... crying out loud. I wish I had the... I'm not going to have the details exactly right, and I regret that. I think that the way it... What ended up happening was that the patent office nullified the patents that... Not patents. Trademarks that the Redskins had for their logos. So, in other words, what that means is that you can rip off the logo and make shirts and things like that, because the fact that that patent or not patent, I'm frustrated because I'm trying to look this up at the same time. Yeah. The trademark no longer is valid.
Okay. The license for that particular.
Right.
Right. Whatever you want to call it. Emblem or.
Yes, exactly. So, what it boils down to here is I worry that this is another example of – I don't really want to talk about whether or not the Redskins is a bad term or if it's racist to use that word or whatever. What I'm worried about here is it doesn't really matter if you're on the – how you feel about it, whether you agree that it's a bad term or whether you're – a traditionalist, and you don't want to see him change the name. Everybody should be worried about the fact that the government can flex like this and force something to happen. If you think about it, this means that the way this is happening, they could force something that you don't like. That, you know, if you say you do approve of the Redskins, here's the story. Being stripped of their trademarks. Let's say you don't like it. Well, I'm really going at this from the wrong angle because I'm a little bit frustrated. If you do like it, now that also means that the government... here's another example. The IRS flexed its muscles because they did not like conservative groups, and so they wanted to make it more challenging for them to get a tax-exempt status. You know, the government is finding all these strange ways that are outside of using Congress and outside of using their ability to write law. It's the administrative branch manipulating its offices to punish people and force things down your throat, whether you like it or not. And where I'm going with this is, regardless of how you feel about the Redskins, if this happens... This can happen to you on an issue that you do that you feel strongly about. Am I making sense or am I babbling? Because I got kind of off track.
I think
you're
making perfect sense. There's two sides to every
right.
sword.
If the IRS can assault and harass conservative groups, if you're a liberal, you should really be freaked out by that. Because what's going to happen when, in my dream world, Mitt Romney was elected in 2012, and he decides he doesn't like liberal groups. You know, this should be wrong no matter who's doing it. And it bugs me that it's being done. I don't give a rip one way or the other about the Redskins. Nobody, when's the last time if you heard somebody say, I had lunch with a Redskin, would you ever think anything except a football player?
No.
No. Redskin is the term Redskin is like the term Knickerbocker or the term supersonic. You know, there's, if I had lunch with a supersonic, I had lunch with a basketball player from Seattle. If I had lunch with a Knickerbocker, I had lunch with a basketball player from New York. And if I had lunch with a Redskin, I had lunch with a football player from Washington. It's ridiculous. It's not a derogatory term. Nobody says hey, Redskin, get off my lawn. That's preposterous. Mm-hmm. But more importantly to me is the fact that this is the government using force, in a sense, to make Daniel Snyder change his team's name because the courts weren't doing it and Congress wasn't doing it.
The NFL's becoming big brother, I guess.
No, not the NFL.
Everybody's becoming big brother.
Not the NFL. Our federal government is. This is the federal government jamming it down our throats. The federal government.
That's what I mean.
The federal government doesn't like the term.
Is joining Big Brother.
I don't think the NFL is. I don't think the NFL had anything to do with this. The government doesn't like the term Redskin. They told Daniel Snyder, screw you, we're taking away your trademarks. The NFL didn't do that. The federal government did.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh, I guess I misunderstood. I thought the NFL
had given up that patent on that. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office canceled 6 federal trademarks of the team name because it was found to be disparaging to Native Americans. So let's say tomorrow the federal government finds the company that you and I work for to be treating women unfairly, so they decide they're going to cancel 6 patents that our company holds.
I get you.
Or they decide to not renew our federal license to transport chemicals. Because,
right. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing.
It goes.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Okay. I understand.
Stop beating me up, dude.
It goes outside of, it's a practice that is being used against enemies of an ideology.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should fear that and rue that, because if I found out my side was behaving in a similar way, I would oppose that. That's not just hyperbole. That's not just me taking a position. That's a fact. I don't want to see the laws being circumvented by federal agencies, and I don't want to see policy be forced on people in a way that is not the way that our system was designed to operate. This is a bunch of lawyers sitting in a room saying, what can we do to make the Redskins change? Well, what do the laws say? Nothing there. What could we pull any licenses? Nah, they don't have any federal licenses. Hey, they do have one thing that's a federal piece of paper. They got trademarks. Well, pull them.
And I can picture that, too. You get the guy there with the vest. Pull them. Just pull them. Oh. it's worse than what I kind of wish that it was the way that the NFL had did it.
If the NFL had done it, then I would not be reacting this way, because it's within the confines of a private industry, you know.
Right.
But it's not. This is something. I mean, I can think of other examples. You know, there was the I believe it was Fender guitar. It was the Gibson. Makes Les Pauls. The government went in and brought the EPA in and started issuing them fines for using unapproved wood, even though Fender Guitars, which is unionized, was using wood from the same source and had no such investigation. You know, they were both using the same wood, but Fender had nothing happen to them, but they were unionized. This is all obviously stuff that happened under a Democrat president. The IRS with the Tea Party groups trying to get tax exempt status.
They had a Congress, you know, when they when they questioned, they had the panel in Congress there, they would talk question the second person in command of the IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny watching that happening. Guy's like, I haven't heard you say an apology for anything that went down. He started all snicking at him. He's, you know, the guy who they were in, and I'm just as all that I saw of that. And you know, he just basically turned around with that smug look and says, well, I find no reason to have to apologize to this council. I just thought that was just, wow, you're
it's all such crap.
Yeah. It is. It's crazy.
I still got a bunch of news stories that I wanted to get to, and time is just whipping by. Maybe we're going into some of these stories too deep, but I find the governor draft a great idea, and I wanted to get into that a little bit with you. So you're listening to the ABCs or whatever. We're going to take another break. We've got funny you don't know about still to come. Hang in there with us, gang. We are going to be right back.
I am a passenger.
We got some great fans, don't we?
We have the best fans in the podcast world.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, these fans are our fans. I mean, sometimes they get in touch with us and want to know how they can help out the show.
Yeah.
You know, we should definitely start telling people how to utilize our donate button.
We have a donate button, but we don't hardly ever talk about it. Where can you find the donate button at?
TheABCsOfWhatever.com, upper right-hand corner.
Yep.
And we're not asking for big donations. I mean,
no.
Just any little thing.
Because it all adds up. And what do we use that money for?
Internet services, our Podomatic hosting system.
Mm-hmm.
Our hosting system for TheABCsOfWhatever.com.
$2 would be about half the cost of a latte for one day. But it would mean a ton to us. So when you pull the page up, it says donate to the show here.
Sure.
Help us keep the lights on. Donate. And you can donate with PayPal, Visa, Discover Card, MasterCard, or American Express. So if you wanted to donate to the show, how would you do it?
Go on to our website, theabcsofwhatever.com.
Uh-huh.
Upper right-hand corner, the donate button. Mm-hmm. Click it and do your magic.
Yo, yo, yo. This is Freddie D from Sarasota, and you're listening to the ABC of Whatever.
Welcome back to episode 96 of the ABC's Whatever, rapidly approaching that magic 100 number. And on episode 100, what's going to happen, Chris?
All hell's going to break loose.
I'm hoping.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I know exactly how I'm going to start off the show.
I bet you do. How's your week been, man? What have you been doing?
Well, what have I been doing? Since the last show, I don't think anybody knows this, but I got a real bad case of shingles. Got rushed to the hospital the day after we recorded last week, and it's a pretty miserable to have shingles.
So you got shingles, and you're still doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Andy
yeah.
got an umbilical hernia. I was going to say.
Come on, don't do that. Don't say things like that.
Nah, his problem really is that he's working so many hours every
right.
day.
Right, he's working right now. I mean,
let me tell you,
making sandwiches.
I know doing that kind of work, how much, and especially when you start getting up there towards our age, how exhausting that is.
Yeah.
It'd kick your butt. Tell me about shingles, man. When you say shingles, I assume what I think of is your skin turns into scaly shingles, like layers that you can peel off, like a shingle. I don't know what shingles is like.
Yeah. First of all, the first thing that happens
like scales, you get like fish scales on you that look like they're shingles. The way your shingles are layered like fish scales.
Well, I mean, it's breakages of your skin, and it kind of gets crusted over. As it gets crusted over, it means that it's actually healing. Where the problem lies isn't so much that. Where the problem lies is the pain that before you get that scaliness happening, that's where you have a lot of problems.
So does each little lesion hurt?
Oh yeah.
Or do you have pain all throughout your body?
It's what I was told by the numerous doctors that I went and seen last week.
How many did you see?
I went to the emergency room. There was two there. I had to go see a because I had two or three of them right around my left eye. So they thought that it was in my eye.
Oh God!
So I had to go see a surgeon. You know, for the eye. And then that was on Friday. And then Saturday I woke up and my eye was just closed shut. I mean, I soaked it and soaked it and soaked it. And it just wouldn't open. So I had my wife take me to the, you know, I wasn't going to go back to the hospital. I already had seen the eye surgeon. So I went over to the clinic to see if there was anything they could do, and they sent me upstairs to an eye doctor that was there. She examined me again, and she's like, no, it's just around your eye. It's just really bad around your eye, and she gave me like this cream, because the cream that they actually give you – I got pills. I got these big horse pills that I was supposed to take three times a day. They gave me this real nasty cream. I mean, it was thick. It was gross. It gets on everything, but you can't put it anywhere near your eye because it'll burn. It'll hurt.
I can just I can just picture you all greased up, laying around in like a diaper at home. Like grease everywhere. Mimi, can you bring me some more iced tea? Just laying in bed with grease all over you.
No, there's no laying. Mine were all in my head.
Your head?
The left side of – you could actually take a line and cut my head right in half, right at the nose line, and they were all to the left side.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I have them on top of my head. I have them around the back of my ear. I have them around my eye. I have two of them that are huge right in my forehead. And you can just tell that's gonna leave a mark.
You and my wife got in a big argument about whether or not they were contagious.
I actually talked to someone who has dedicated a doctor who dedicated his life.
To shingles? What a lousy dedication.
Yeah, I know. He's a specialist. He's a specialist in the shingles virus. And he told me was that you are contagious before the scaling happens.
Yeah, that's the way chicken pox works too. You're contagious until you're pocked up.
Who you're really contagious to is the pregnant women.
Any
pregnant women. If you're a pregnant woman,
you know I am.
You can't let you be pregnant.
You know I am, baby.
And are you trying to tell us something?
Yeah. No? I give him a virus, all right.
And of course, you know, they say that you're also contagious to people who have not had the chicken pox. If you haven't had the chicken pox, young children, because they, you know, because I guess that vaccine doesn't get put into their regimen until they're like 10, 12 years old. Once you have chicken pox, which I had them in kindergarten, it always stays with you, and it gets intertwined with the nerve endings that are in your skin. They keep it all down. And when you have a lot of stresses, which everybody knows how much stress I've had up here.
Your life is one big stress.
Oh yeah, dude. It's crazy.
Let's rehash all the things that should have killed you by now. Buried alive. You were buried alive for how long? 15 minutes?
I think – no, it was like – well, yeah, about 16 minutes.
So you were buried alive for about 16 minutes before they were able to recover you. Yep. You had a stroke on an airplane.
I did.
You went into the emergency room with your blood pressure at 290 over 250.
Not that high, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, how far off am I? Tell me how far off I am.
I think it was, what 259 over 189, I think it was.
Yeah, it was higher than that. It was way higher than that. What else? You had a stomach thing that happened while you were down here, and you ended up in the hospital, diverticulitis.
Yes.
Now you got the shingles.
I have shingles. Yeah.
How are you gonna live through this?
What do you mean? I'm ready for the next thing.
All right.
I've had an umbilical hernia too.
Oh yeah, me too. I got an umbilical hernia. My doctor told me, don't worry about it unless it bothers you. Then we can do something about it. He says, is it bothering you? And I go, no. He goes, then you're fine. There were a couple of stories in the news that I wanted to get into before we got out of here today because I found them to be really interesting. First, we talked about this many months ago. It's the story about the girl who was being held by the Boston Children's Hospital, Justina mm-hmm. Peltier. She has been or is being in the process of being released to go home to her parents. If you remember that podcast and that story, she basically went into the hospital for treatment for, I can't remember what her problem was. She had some like rheumatic type issue, and the doctors told her it was all psychosomatic and took her away from her parents, told the parents that they wouldn't be permitted to visit with her. It was a real cluster F, if you recall. So she has finally gotten a judge to release her to go home back to her parents. So good news for her.
Good.
Are people talking about that up your way?
No.
I
started a conversation. We had that show. I was actually – I went to my mom's house on that, you know, for Sunday lunch, Sunday dinner, and I had brought that up, and it just started a big fight in my mom's house with, you know, between my sisters. And
what's the fight about?
I don't know, dude. I don't even remember. I don't even remember, and I don't even want to talk about it.
Because you got a bunch of lefty family members.
I got two sisters that are part of the, you know, they deal with that all the time. You know what I mean? So, that's why I didn't bring it up, and I tried to remove that from my memory bank.
All right, no problem. So we had that news story. There is another news story about 13 children have already died in hot cars this year, where parents leave their kids in the car and it's hot mm-hmm. outside and the kid. And I got to read to you a little bit about this one story. It's just so incredibly heartbreaking. I'm just reading this right straight from NBCNews.com. Last month, Richie Gray of Hartsville, South Carolina, said he forgot to drop off his daughter, Sophia, at daycare, and he left her sleeping in the backseat of his car in 90-degree heat. She was 13 months old. She did not survive. And here's a quote from him. It's so easy for the child to go to sleep, and you just not realize they're still there because your brain is on autopilot, Gray told NBC News. I could so easily see this happening, where you just... you're going through the motions. Maybe you don't normally take your kid to daycare, and today it's your turn. You put her in. She's not making any noise. She's falling asleep, and you're thinking about a project coming up, and you just forget. And it's so incredibly tragic.
Oh, my God. How does he live with himself after that?
I don't think he could. There's a YouTube clip.
I couldn't.
There's a YouTube clip or something from the Nightly News associated with this story, and the headline is, father's massive amount of guilt after leaving baby in hot car. In the past 2 months, 4-year-old Bella Rose Lindstrom died in Texas. 2-year-old Alejandra Hernandez Mendoza died in Sarasota, Florida. I didn't even hear about it. And just this week near Orlando, another child was killed when her father, Stephen Lilly, left her inside his truck. She's been in the car for hours, and I absolutely forgot about it, Lilly told the 911 dispatcher. And, you know, it's just so. So with summer's getting, we're getting deeper into summer. It's a little public service from the U.S., from the ABCs or whatever. Don't forget your kids in the car.
Yes, please.
And one last story to talk about real quickly. I thought this was awesome. The New Mexico Secretary of Corrections, he secretly, like undercover, went into a prison and spent 48 hours in solitary. Like as like an undercover boss type thing.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome, just to see what the experience was going to be like for inmates. He got into his cell. He went through his personal effects that he brought in with him.
In solitary.
I just think that that's admirable that he would go to that much trouble. I mean, that's got to suck to be exposed to the prison life that such hardcore criminals get subjected to. So,
I mean, did he do this to find out if it, you know, if his prison was running?
That's my assumption.
What does it mean?
I think that he, let me see if I can refine this. He was doing it because he wanted to reform the state's use of solitary. He said most of the inmates who are placed in solitary confinement will end up back on the streets, transformed into super criminals. We're sending them back to our neighborhoods worse than they came in. I cannot allow that. So it's just research. I think it's admirable, you know. Putting yourself in a bad spot like that to see what it's like for the people that you're subjecting it to. It's not that I have sympathy for people that end up in solitary confinement, but I think that it's awesome that the guy wanted to know so that he could make more informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I think it's time for funny you may or may not know about at this time or previously, but will you're about to know about. I just renamed this segment.
I see that.
Tonight's funny you don't know about, Tim Hawkins. Take it away, Tim.
Man, I love being married. I've been married for 17 years, like I said. Has anybody here been married for like less than a year? Any newly married people? Any newly married? How long have you been married? How many? 2 months. Dude. Oh, welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. Yeah, baby. You're going to die. Where do we go now? 2 months. That's awesome. See, when you're married 2 months. See, marriage is a roller coaster. 2 months, you're just on that first hill. It's pretty easy. You got your teddy bear and your big cup of Coke. This ain't so bad, is it, Sugar Booger? It's coming, Rachel Ray. It's coming like a train. Buckle up, patootie. You see, marriage changes. It's still good. It just changes. It's good. It just changes. Like, I don't know, dude. You may get up early and go to work early. Your wife's, you know, still sleeping in your shirt. She's snuggling. She's like, please don't go. Please just stay. Just stay. Please don't. Please stay. Stay. Years later, it's trash day. Let the dog out. All right. Turn off the light. You're not going to wear that, are you? What not to wear, poster boy walking out the door. When you're first married, you share food at restaurants, you know? Get a piece of cake. Can I have a piece just to buy? Sure, honey. Sure. Married 17 years, you throw an elbow every once in a while. Oh, no, no. You see, I got cheesecake because I wanted cheesecake, but you didn't want cheesecake a minute and a half ago. But now you want cheesecake. See, that's frustrating. Because I said, do you want cheesecake? You said, no, not a one. I got a cheesecake hole right here in my stomach, and a half a piece is not going to do it. When you're first married, you probably watch each other sleep all the time. It's just a kiss. It's like, look at him. Oh, my God. It's just so stomach. Oh. Facebook, yeah, Facebook. I woke up from a nap the other day. My wife was just standing there staring at me like, I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, I don't remember marrying that face. Wow. You want a sandwich, Chewbacca? What happened to your nose, Voldemort? Hey, Potter. Here's the thing, though. You just got to learn. It's real simple. Just learn what they want. Just the little things, little details, guys. Just learn what they want. Study them. If you go to Starbucks, learn their drink. Like when you go to the drive-thru, learn what they like to drink at Starbucks. It'll blow her mind. It will. Because women are, that's a hard drink. They're very complicated. Men are easy at Starbucks. You know, you ever go to the drive-thru? Can I help you? Yeah, give me a minty coffee, no cream. Honey, what do you want? Okay, here's what I want. Listen, this is what I want. I want a tall, skinny, sugar-free, decaf, soy, vanilla latte, extra hot whipped cream, double sleeve, no cup. Please tell me you got that, please. I'd like to change my order to a large whiskey, just a large cup of whiskey, because I'm going to drive away and off a cliff. I don't want it to hurt so bad. And a blueberry scone. Learn what they like. Learn it.
Tim Hawkins, and that's tonight's funny you don't know about.
I liked him.
Do you,
that was good.
Are you able to do that? Are you able, like, do you feel like you know the drinks? If you went to a Starbucks, would you know what to get Mimi?
Yes.
I would not know what to get Connie.
Yes, I know.
I would get her something iced with caramel. Words like caramel and mocha and latte probably in them. But I wouldn't know for sure I got the right thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what my wife would want.
See, you're a good husband.
Now, I can't say the same for my daughter.
Does she change all the time, though?
Oh, my God. And if you mess it up, forget about it.
Huh.
I mean, she looks like something out of The Exorcist.
Really?
You mean you bought it this way? Didn't I tell you?
Well, you got it last time like this. I hated it.
That's women. I thought that was a pretty good representation right there of what married life is like. So yes. It's time for us to get out of here, Chris. Let's do the old business, y'all, that we seem to skip so often lately. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at ABC's Whatever, facebook.com/TheABC'sWhatever, and send us an email. Let us know how you think we're doing. The email address is Bill, B-I-L-L, at TheABC'sWhatever.com. Outside of that, I got nothing else. I got a ton more stories to talk about, but
yeah. No, I'm all set. I'm good.
Are you golden?
Let's support the local chapter of
Shingles Anonymous.
Shingles. Yeah. The Coalition Against Shingles, please.
Okay, I'll do it. So. We should get on up out of here. I've been forgetting to play the outro music a lot lately. Time for us to go. And don't forget that on episode 100, it's the free-for-all. And we'll see you next time around.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks a ton. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in another week. You've been listening to The ABC's Whatever.
This forum, like all public forums, is a waste of time. Thank you.